WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Francis Beck, and Tom Prince is on the way, WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here. Derek Kramer is producing. And as you've been listening in the, I would say within the last hour, breaking news that the Buffalo Bills have released running back LeSean McCoy. Derek, this has a lot of people scratching their heads and stunned. I have to say, I'm not surprised. I told my son after the draft I did not think that McCoy was going to make it to the opening day roster, but in general, are most fans shocked?
I mean, this is a shocking one based on the name factor alone.
Right.
I mean, a 31-year-old, a former All-Pro running back, he's been with the Bills for several years now and was looking, heading into the season, like he would be either let go or traded by the team or number one on the depth chart. This was literally one way or the other. There was no in-between in this.
Do you think that at some point the Bills were actively trying to trade him, found that there were no partners out there, and the only option was left to let him go?
I would absolutely agree with that. That has got to be the case.
The last few days, Brandon Bees, you know, was able to trade players that were going to get cut and get something for them, which is fantastic. You want to build up your draft picks and, you know, be able to use that or package it any which way you can in the following draft. So I felt that was some great moves by Bean. So you have to wonder, was he actively trying to trade McCoy and that there were no dancing partners there for him? You look at the other possibility, the thing that I was thinking about as I was formulating my opinions. Does Clowney have anything to do with this? Does this open the door for them to possibly swing a deal to bring Clowney in, restructure contract so that it's cap friendly?
I would say Jadeveon Clowney is not even in this conversation.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you probably released one of your bargaining chips on a trade.
Okay.
McCoy still has that name power. He looks like he can be better than he was last year, for example. But
which isn't saying a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, that is a fair point, but I do suspect that a lot of that had to do with the offensive line woes as well as McCoy's struggles.
Absolutely. The offensive line was terrible last year. You see how many guys are left even on the team from that squad last year.
And with whatever manageable cap hit McCoy creates here, he will bounce back and land another job somewhere. It's just going to be a question of where, when, and does it take an injury for that to happen, for McCoy to get added somewhere.
Are the Dallas Cowboys going to be on the phone with him?
Maybe. I mean, if Ezekiel Elliott holds out, LeSean McCoy isn't a bad depth piece for a running back backfield for another team. Melvin Gordon with the Chargers is another instance like this. And the Texans have been reportedly looking for running back depth behind Duke Johnson after Lamar Miller was injured. So there are plenty of... Tampa Bay is just an abyss of a backfield. Just terrible.
Well, they're just a terrible team.
Ronald Jones is already looking like a flop of a second-round pick. Peyton Barber should not be starting for any team ever. And this I don't know how to pronounce this man's name, might be the third down back in Tampa Bay, though nobody knows how to say his last name.
So if I'm McCoy, I don't want to wind up there.
I mean, Tampa's a nice place to live, and you can go ahead and play with Bruce Arians. You can play with Bruce Arians. That's not a bad thing to do.
True.
And there's worse offenses, I think, than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their defense is just abysmal. So
they have ugly uniforms.
Yes, they do. But there are plenty of options where McCoy can end up bouncing out of this. The question is, what's the backfield going to look like with Buffalo coming into this?
Correct.
Is Devin Singletary going to become the number one back right away off of this after an impressive preseason? Is Frank Gore going to be the primary shareholder of the touches? What is the balance going to look like there? T.J. Yeldon, Sonoris Perry, do they make the roster? What role do they have making the roster? Is Yeldon your primary pass-catching back? Because McCoy was great at getting catches out of the backfield.
Right.
There's a lot of layers to this now for the Buffalo Bills and what's going to happen, but the biggest thing being, it's the shock of the name value. LeSean McCoy being released is something that's going to send waves around the league. It's going to send waves through fan base. It's going to be something that's like, whoa, LeSean McCoy was cut. All right, that's a big deal. That's a big name. But a lot of us are thinking, and a lot of us are suspecting, the way that they added Frank Gore, the way that they drafted Devin Singletary, the way that they used Devin Singletary in training camp and through preseason, that this was something that a lot of people were bracing for and seeing coming. This isn't necessarily what I'd call a shock to the system, but it's not necessarily one that it's like, everyone could have called this. Well, because no, it's still LeSean McCoy.
We saw, tips of it or a preview of it, earlier in the year when there was talk of trading him, when there was talk of trading McCoy, and then you had Bean come out, oh, no, he plans, Sean McCoy's in our plans, and yada, 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 the old company
that,
line.
That sounded like that was trying to beef up the value to see if someone would be a taker. And teams do that, and I think it was more or less – it seemed like they were almost going out of their way at points to bringing up LeSean McCoy's value to the team, what he would be able to do for the team this year. It just sounded like one of those things where it was, they're really trying to find someone to hook in on that, but $9 million is not an easy cap hit to take for any team.
Right.
And that's where everything falls flat, and that is where this report comes that LeSean McCoy has been released.
Yeah, I mean, you look at salary, you look at age, it all plays a factor. You got some young legs coming in there, and it looks like the Bills. You'd like to be in on the discussion. You'd like to be a fly on the wall at one Bills drive to hear the discussion between the coaches and management as they shape the roster. And that would be fascinating just unto itself.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, just to add on to what you guys are talking about, he's going to land somewhere very quickly.
Sure.
But more because of the shaping of the NFL the way it is now, and that is it's a two running back system for almost every team that's out there. So to have that second running back that you're going to need, like what he was just saying a minute ago, McCoy's the perfect pass-catching running back to come out of the backfield. So this is huge. I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of I think his phone's going to be ringing already.
Oh, sure.
To the minute it was announced, it's already ringing.
That's why I said, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry Jones is picking up the phone and saying, hey, we could use you down here.
And don't be surprised there's a block. Like, the Eagles still could come into play here, too. There's talk of the Eagles looking to bring him back before.
Sure.
So, I mean, and if I'm the Eagles, do I want to block that in the sense of from the conference to stop the Cowboys from getting that?
Well, I think the one thing, like what Derek was saying, what's the Bills' backfield going to look like? And going to back what you just said with the two backs, everybody going with two backs, it looks like the Bills are going to approach it running back by committee. Okay, we've got this guy for pass catching, third down, whatever you're going to use him for. We got a power back, we got a speed back. And then you throw in the fan favorite, the one running back that had everybody buzzing, at least they're hoping that he winds up on the practice squad, is Christian Wade, the rugby player. So,
yeah, Wade is, it's not going to be much of an impact on Christian Wade.
But they
have that free practice squad spot.
Right.
So they're absolutely going to use that. Unless a team adds him to their 53-man roster, which I don't think anyone has. Like, Wade has not played that well.
No.
In order for that to happen, that is pretty much it. The last thing I'll leave you guys here with is the other reports of players being released so far. According to several sources, nothing official obviously yet from the team, including with McCoy himself. But the other players that have been reportedly released, quarterback Tyree Jackson, running back Marcus Murphy, receivers Ray McLeod and Duke Williams, defensive lineman Kyle Pico, defensive end Sam Acho posted on his Instagram account, so that one's pretty much confirmed by the player himself. Linebacker Deion Lacey and cornerback Captain Munnerlyn. Those are the other reported cuts so far.
Captain and Duke surprised me. I thought both of them played well enough, and I like big body receivers. So
Isaiah McKenzie made it really hard to make the roster for him and McLeod both. Isaiah McKenzie, anytime he's touched the ball throughout the preseason, touchdowns or big plays. It's been nothing else from Isaiah McKenzie so far from this training camp. Even from last season, he was a guy who was a versatile piece. He could return kicks for you. If, say, Andre Roberts is banged up, he could be a guy that gets a couple of rushing yards or some rushing touchdowns on those reverses. He's a very versatile piece, and I think that the Bills very much value what Isaiah McKenzie brings to the table. And hey, we'll see what happens throughout the official way. Marcus Murphy was the other one, because especially with this McCoy news, Murphy should latch on with another team. Those four teams that we mentioned with Tampa, Dallas, the Chargers, and Houston?
Yes.
Marcus Murphy should be getting a call from somebody, because the guy has shown that he can do it in the NFL. He has been through regular season action. He's looked good again in the preseason, he hasn't lost a step. Murphy should land on another squad somewhere, and McCoy definitely will be getting some phone calls.
Out of the other players, who do you see making the Bills practice squad, or the Bills bringing back for a practice squad?
According to Matthew Fairburn, Ray McLeod is a favorite to get back onto the practice squad. Fairburn saying the same about Duke Williams as well.
No Tyree?
Nothing yet on Tyree. I suspect if they are going to put him on the practice squad that they will end up doing that. I don't know if he played well enough for it, though.
Yeah, that's...
That fourth quarter might have saved him, though.
I didn't watch. I have to admit, I had no interest in watching the last preseason game.
Oh, it was bonkers. It was that comeback fashion like last year's fourth preseason game. It was that fun little aspect like that. I was a little furious because I was writing my post-game update, and I'm like, the Buffalo Bills fell in preseason. No, they didn't. I had to redo the whole thing. So I was trying to get ahead of the curve, and then it's like, oh, three touchdowns in 4 minutes. Let's go. And Jackson actually, in the fourth quarter, really turned it on. He was good in the first quarter, then he was 1-for-4 in the second quarter. Not so good in the third quarter again, but then that fourth quarter finishes 22 of 33 for 100 and I think it was like 178 some odd yards. But he added 77 on the ground. That rushing touchdown that was actually credited to him, he fumbled it like as he was crossing the plane. Mm-hmm. And then that passing touchdown to end it to David Sills.
Ah, never a dull moment in Buffalo, is there?
Anthony, quick question for DK. If they don't keep Jackson, what are their options for a third quarterback? They got to have something going, you know, as far as a disaster quarterback, whatever you call it. You just can't go through with either on a practice squad or the regular squad with two guys.
And that's a good question there, Raj. I think that they're going to scour the waiver wires, see what quarterbacks end up on the cut-down lists, and see which one they want to give a call to. They're not going to get caught with their pants down again with this quarterback situation like last year, how they had to start four different quarterbacks, two signed off the street. They're going to probably add a third guy onto the roster and still possibly put Jackson on the practice squad as a guy to help out with like mobile quarterbacks on scout team and everything of the such.
All that and more. Keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Of course, at 11 o'clock, Sports Talk Saturday. We have much more on that and other Bills news, so you're going to keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, time to get to talking high school football, and that's what we are here for. Last week, we got into some of the smaller schools. We left off with B1. Oh, before that, you did have one quick news and notes before we get going.
Yeah, Gowanda Central is looking for varsity, JV and varsity basketball coaches for both their boys and girls programs.
I have one quick announcement, Anthony. Josh Haskell, younger brother of Danielle Haskell, who played for Franklinville as a ninth grader. He was honorable mention All-Western New York. He will be transferring to St. Joe's for his sophomore year. That's I found that out at a soccer game on Thursday, I believe. Wow, that was a surprise.
All right, we need to get going here because we are running up against time.
I just have one quick one. Announcement, Connor Desiderio has signed with St. Bonnie's, so we have a Division I baseball player that we'll be seeing. Congratulations to Connor Desiderio of Maryvale.
And he'll be pitching for the Bonnie's.
He will be the left-handed pitcher coming down to the Bonnie's.
Cool.
So.
Totally cool. All right, Francis, we left off and we need to get into B1. As we went through all, you know, the other B's, this is left over, and then we'll go into the A's and double A's. And then we have Dawn Purcell from Iroquois. She's going to be calling in for the last segment to talk about some concerns that she has in her district.
All right, we'll start with the Warriors. Of course, the defending Class B champs. They've won their fourth sectional title in 5 years last year. They lose this pretty key quarterback in Keyshawn Beal, two-time Connolly Cup finalist. However, it's Cheektowaga. They return to Mario Bass, Isaiah Sharp, and five starters. And, you know, this coaching staff knows what they're doing. They're going to find a good replacement for Keyshawn Beal. East Aurora Holland Blue Devils. They returned nine starters after going 3-6 last year. Key returnees Shane McSwan, Jack Rogers, and Connor Bass. They will miss running back linebacker Finn O'Brien.
It's Connor Boss, not Bass. Boss, B-O-S-S.
Boss. Oh, yeah, I read it wrong. Lakeshore, I want to watch out for this team. They went 2-6 last year, but Dan Russell is going into his second year as the program. He's really excited. Returned six starters on offense, seven on defense. Watch out for wide receiver Nate Stiles. He's big guy, and he could have a breakout season. Leuport, coached by Matt Bradshaw. They went 4-5, missed the playoff. Return 11 starters, but they lose their key lineman, Joe Powers. They return J.P. Stewart, and watch out for Frank Previtt.
Yeah, it's a running back. I watched him last year against Lakeshore, I believe it was, and he was impressive.
Yeah. And I think that was last year. His mother passed away in the middle of the year.
Yep.
And so Coach Bradshaw said to watch out for him. And then finally, Pioneer, you know, they had that big year last year with Mike Riegerman. Keep in mind, he was a tight end last summer before he changed to running back. So they returned 5 starters in offense, 6 on defense. They still bring back Tyler Ellie and Trey Hill. So this could be an interesting year for Pioneer to see if they can keep up that success.
Sure.
Francis, would you agree that it's Chickawaga probably for the top seed, and can the other 3 schools challenge Pioneer for the second seed?
I think Lakeshore is getting the second seed. I'm not sure about Pioneer. I think they lost a lot because they lost their quarterback, they lost their running back, they lost their 2 key linemen, and these were guys that were like 3-year starters.
Yeah, that is tough to replace. Tom, did you have something?
Yeah, no, this is the one conference that is really a toss-up this year. You don't know. There's so many variables here that we don't know that it's got to see. You're dying to go to that first game just to see that first game, to see how it plays out a little bit
right. Inside
that conference.
When you say conference, you mean just B1 or the whole classification?
The B1 is because that's what we're talking about right here. I mean, the whole class, I think, starts to play very quickly as we start adding in some of the other schools that we already know about, right, that are confidence.
Yeah, and there's always that one or two players that are going to come out of nowhere that, you know, nobody forecasted, and all of a sudden, bam, they're on the scene.
If you remember at this point last year, we were touting Pioneer before the season started.
Well, we thought Iroquois was going to be that third team.
Yes.
Because Maryvale was in there, so we were like, oh, they're locked. We thought Iroquois was going to be the third
because
team.
Because of Iroquois, how solid they've been. But we were touting Pioneer. Dick and I both are on here talking about Pioneer because we knew about the line play. We knew this line was going to be an unbelievable line coming up for Pioneer. And you saw that was what they lost a big part of. But if you remember, what we talk about with Pioneer is that incredible wrestling program, too, that's down there at the same time. That you wonder, does it turn around and still equate to a great line to be able to open up the lanes, to be able to do some of the things that they did very well last year.
Sure.
All right, let's go to A2. It's a lot of very good teams in this division. You know, we have West Seneca East in here. We have South Park. We have Star Point. This has always historically been a very strong division. We'll start alphabetical order. Amherst, they returned just 3 starters last year after going 4-4. They'll have to replace 3-year starters in quarterback Ja'Kai Womack and running back Deshaun Bearfield. They do return senior Ryan Bicca at center nose guard. Grand Island, they're coached by Dean Santorio. They went 7-2 last year, fell in the Class A quarterfinals.
They have some replacing to do.
Yeah, they do. They returned 4 starters in offense, 3 on defense. Actually, they fell in the semifinals, but they lose Cam Sianko. I mean, he was a three and a half year starting quarterback for them. That will be tough. They have Ben Moscala, Blake Blecky, and Jack Dugalinski, who really had some good time as a sophomore on this team. He'll be back. So this could be a tough year, but then again, it's Grand Island. They're always good. Kenmore East, my alma mater, they've won just 5 games in the last 4 seasons. And I know this is a lot to say, but I think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
He's been touting that for a couple weeks now. He's pushing this one as hard as he can.
2 years ago, this team was a missed 2-point conversion away from going, their JV team was a missed 2-point conversion away from going perfect. They have all those guys back. They had a bunch of guys start last year. I don't think 2-6 showed exactly what they were made of. But watch out for QB Emery Lang, running back Dom Ferguson. They also got some transfers in. So this team could be very good this year. They return 9 starters. And then South Park, they're always good, coached by Tim Delaney. They fell in the Class A quarterfinals. But they return 8 starters on offense, 4 on defense. They bring back Clarence Thomas, who was injured in the first game of the year last year, very good runner, and never got to full form. But when he was healthy in that last game, you could tell this kid's going to be special. And if he can stay healthy this year, he's going to take South Park a long way.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with South Park and continue from there. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. Don't forget, keep it locked here all day. You're going to want to hear more about the Bills releasing LeSean McCoy. Sports Talk Saturday will delve in depth at 11 o'clock right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. Tony Caligiuri along with Francis Beck and Tom Prince from WNY Athletics and Roger Weiss. We are previewing the upcoming season, and we left off talking about South Park. We're into the A's now, Francis.
All right. So for a long time, I don't know how much Star Point football you did over the years, but they were known for that ground-and-pound attack. Then all of a sudden, Aaron Chase came in, and they were suddenly an air attack. Well, Aaron Chase is gone. He's now at UB, but it looks like that air attack is staying. Star Point returns 11 starters. They lose Chase and most of their receivers, but they return Joe Carlson. Watch out for him. And then they have a sophomore QB taking over, Carson Marcus, who looked pretty good at summer workouts. So watch out for Star Point. They could be interesting this year. Sweet Home, of course, went 0-8 last year. Tough year for them, just off the field and, you know, the way things happened. But they returned 12 starters, so there's nowhere to go but up for them.
Right.
And then we have West Seneca East, of course, the defending Section 6 champions, made it to the Class A state final. They only returned 5 starters and, of course, lose Sean Dolak. So they'll be tough to replace. But they do have Davari Mathis coming back, and I saw a little bit of them last night in NT, and their line looked pretty good. So West Seneca East should still be pretty good. And then finally, Williamsville South. They had 11 straight winning seasons until they missed the playoffs last year, but they returned 8 starters on defense, 7 on offense, so they should have a big bounce-back year. And they bring back A.J. Urbanek and Xavier Garzala. So watch out for Will South.
We're always watching out for Will South. That's the program there.
South Park looked pretty good yesterday in a scrimmage. I stayed briefly at Canisius before I went on to West Seneca for the Lancaster scrimmage yesterday. But to me, after South Park, there seems to be an awful lot of parity in that A2 division this year.
Good. Then everybody would be knocking off everyone else.
And I can understand why Francis might be optimistic about Ken East.
Which is funny, which is what is the theme, I think, almost when you go conference to conference, how much parity you're going to hear this year versus years in the past. So here's my question to you, okay? Mm-hmm. So last year I said, right, was the year of the quarterback, right? Which is what I said. Now, I do believe there are some elite quarterbacks that we still have. Don't get me wrong. I don't think this is necessarily the year of the quarterback where we're going to hear about 20 quarterbacks, you know what I mean, how great it was. This could be really the year of the supporting staff or the supporting casts to make a team whole this year. Mm. It could be the underdogs, in essence, or the unsung heroes that Dick Gallagher likes to use could be the difference this year.
Well, the way I kind of looked at it, I see it as a rebuilding year in all of Section 6. Look at the Connolly Cup. We had 9 finalists were seniors last year. Yep. We lost guys who are multi-year starters, multi-year stars. So I think this year we're going to be looking for who are those new big names. So I think that's the way I look at it, as a rebuilding year. It could be the running game. Maybe it is supporting cast, but I think it's a rebuild. We got to find new stars this year.
But good luck narrowing it down to 10 guys for finalists.
Right, no, and that's any year. You know that.
Well, no, but I mean, maybe top one or two favorites, you know, repeats from a year ago or just missed being top 10 a year ago. But after that, my goodness, there's got to be 2 dozen candidates right off the bat.
Which is, remember last year, we probably had 20 candidates right off the bat, right? So, I mean, I think we probably, I don't know if we've got 20 this year, but I bet you there's a good solid 12 to 15 that we could put on a list right now and be able to do it.
All right, so A1 real quick. I think this is a mix of teams that of traditional powers are going to take a step back and teams that usually haven't done well that are going to go forward. We'll start Hamburg. They went 3-5 last year. They returned 7 offensive starters, 6 on defense. They finished off the year on a pair of wins, so if they can carry that momentum, Hamburg could have an interesting year. Kenmore West went 4-4 last year, returned 6 starters on offense, 4 on defense. You know, they return Zach Boyce, they're going to be pretty good, but they lose 2 big guys, Cam Crozier, Joe Stewart. They might be one of those teams that might take a slight step back this year. McKinley, new coach Brian Davis. He went to Williamsville North and played at Edenboro. He takes over. They returned 6 starters from McKinley, went 4-4 last year. We'll see how new coach Brian Davis does in his first year. He was an assistant at Bennett for a couple of seasons. Niagara Wheatfield, coached by Russ Nixon. Of course, they had that big senior class last year. They're mostly gone. Return
gotta
only.
Replace Parks.
Yeah, that'll be tough. They return five starters, but they bring back Chris Gordon, who was kind of their quarterback they put in when they put Parks at running back and receiver. So this guy has really bona fide snaps. The key for Wheatfield is they have to figure out how to carry that momentum from that senior class that have been building for the last 3 or 4 years to keep that going, even if the win-loss record doesn't show it. North Tonawanda. Rick Tom takes over. Coach Eric Yancey stepped down just a couple of weeks ago. Returned six starters on both sides of the ball. Bring back Tom Osborne, Cam Holmes, Go Caporci, and Chris Kenny. They should take a slight step forward this year. West Seneca West. Mike Vastola, the coach, returned six starters after falling in the Section 6 last championship game. Liam Schuer, you know, talk about guts with this. Talk about character with this kid. 2 years ago, he was supposed to have the starting job, and then Matt Myers walks in. Last year, he's supposed to have the job, and then first week of practice, the quarterback from Sweet Home walks in. So this guy, it's finally his job, Liam Schuer. He's back along with Mike Skolinski, who both won the state championship. Glinsky's probably the best linebacker in the area. They could take a step back, but of course, Mike Vastola knows what he's doing this year. Williamsville East, one of the teams I expect to take a big leap forward. They've been an upward climb since Mike Tirillo took over just a couple of years ago. They could take another big step forward. They return eight starters, including Cal Shiflett of the legendary Shiflett sure. family. Yep. And they have Noah and Nick Arnone back as well. I think Williamsville East is going to make the playoffs. And then Williamsville North, I think they're a team that might take a step back. They moved down from Class AA this year, returned five starters on offense, six on defense. But listen to the guys they lose. Dylan Kelly, Joe Nunzall, Jake Orlando, Dylan Mann, starters, guys who gave big production and big leadership. So that's going to be tough for them. They do have the sophomore running back, Xavier Leonard, who played quite a bit as a freshman. They're expecting him to take a big leap this year.
Let's get into double A's.
All right.
Going to double A's.
Yeah, the big boys. Bennett, coached by Steve McDuffie. They went 7-3 last year. They returned most of their backfield with DeJay Perry, Justin Campbell, and Devontae Pompey. They're still going to be very strong.
You know they're going to have players.
Yeah, they're going to compete for a sectional title. Clarence went 5-4, won the Class A Chunk Funky Bowl, returned eight starters on defense, seven offense. But they lose two pretty big pieces, John Stevens and Jack Putney. The watch out for Zach Norton. He led them in rushing last year as a sophomore. He is going to be a star in this Class AA. We'll go to Frontier. Went 0-8 last year. They were in Class A. They move up. They had a really good JV season last year, and that was while they had five sophomores up on the varsity level. Hayden Carter comes back after leading the team as a sophomore in rushing. Hutch Tech. 2-6 last year. They fell in the Class AA Chuck Funky Bowl. They only returned one starter. They're a very senior-heavy team with 18 total senior graduates. They were 90% of their starters. Jaden Robinson, the quarterback, comes back for the Engineers. Jamestown, they have this running back, Savon Van Sickle. He had a really good freshman year. Unfortunately, he had an injury early last year, so his season was kind of done. If he's fully healthy, this Jamestown team, watch out for them.
He would be a Connolly Cup finalist if right. he stays healthy.
And then Lancaster, what can we say about Lancaster? Last year was supposed to be their down year, and they ended up winning their third straight sectional title. Can you say Eric Rupp is a legend in the making?
He's doing such a great job, and of course.
Oh, man. Did you see that pun?
He's making Len Jankowicz proud.
And Joe Foyle.
Yes.
It was good to see Coach Foyle yesterday at the scrimmage. Still shows up.
Okay, Francis.
All right, Lockport there. Trey Smith heads into his second year. They went 1-7 last year. They returned 10 starters, but they lose, of course, all Western New York wide receiver Malik Brooks, who broke the area record.
Yeah, that's a lot of talent to move on.
Yeah.
You think?
Niagara Falls, coached by Don Bass, that went 1-7 last year, returned five starters on both sides of the ball. Watch out for Zion Page and Colin Stone. And then Orchard Park, I think the third team that's going to compete for a sectional title with Lancaster and Bennett. Craig Dana heads into his second year. They went 6-3 last year. They returned 12 starters, including their quarterback Jack Sharp and linebacker Mike Pataki. This team is going to be very good this year, competing with those other two.
Couple of things, Anthony, we should mention. Francis alluded to Glinski, the linebacker from West Seneca West. Let's not forget the two linebackers from Lancaster, Marshner and, of course, Connor Mahoney. Comments on AA versus Class A? AA, there's nine teams, and only one team will be eliminated as they go back to a seven-game schedule. They have two teams that they won't play each other, but eight teams out of the nine do make the quarterfinal playoffs. In the two Class A divisions, only the top four teams from each division will make the playoffs. So basically the AA schedule plays out to eliminate one team from the playoffs.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and the big key to that, so last year only four teams made from AA, right? So we're going to go back to eight. But I think this is going to be the key to watch out there. It could be the games not played that are the ones that will actually have the biggest impact.
Seeding and home field.
Because it'll be exactly who gets a higher seed because you didn't have to play Orchard Park or you didn't have to play Bennett or you didn't have to play Lancaster. So it could be the games not played that are going to be the biggest things this year.
And that's going to happen in A2 because I believe the A's only are playing seven league games because they have to fit in their rivalries in there.
And I will still tell you, I think you said they're going to be in a down year. Do not in any stretch of the means count out Will North. I think Will North's right in there, going to be right in there still.
Ken West is a team they do not have to play this year. And
Ken West is another solid team. There's no doubt about it. But when you look at what Will North brings in year after year, I'm going to be shocked they're not going to be ready to be loaded to be
plus
to
they're
be
coming down from Class AA and they play a AA
big
schedule
down
to A's. And, you know, a year ago, if they were playing in A, that would have been a problem because A was so loaded. This year, I think there's so much parity in A. Oh, God, 12 out of the 16 teams have bona fide chances of making the playoffs.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, I tell you that much. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk with Don Purcell from Iroquois. She has some concerns about the conditions going on and around the field, so we'll talk to her on the other side of the break. Don't forget, keep it locked here for updates on the Bills releasing LeSean McCoy. Derek will have more during the update. And at 11 o'clock when Sports Talk Saturday takes the air, they will have a lot more to talk about it as well. Keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. One last segment, then Sports Talk Saturday is on the air at 11 o'clock. Of course, the big news is the Buffalo Bills releasing LeSean McCoy. So Joe and company will have a lot to say about that, as well as other Bills news as cut down dates, teams getting down to the final 53. Then comes the practice squad and get ready for the season. As I mentioned, as we went into the break, that I invited Dawn Purcell to come out of the program. She had posted something on Facebook, and an article that was sent to me by one of my friends is interested in the topic as well. And Dawn joins us to talk about the conditions going on at Iroquois. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I am. Wow. We just hit a scrimmage and we did great, so I'm happy.
Awesome. Well, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. I know you're a concerned parent and you have raised a lot of issues concerning the conditions going on at Iroquois. Get our audience up to speed as to what's going on and what your concerns are.
Okay. We're just deteriorating. We're out of date. And at this point, we're unsafe. Our athletic facilities are unsafe. Our equipment is unsafe. There have been no improvements for 13 years. I mean, think about that. Would you drive a car that's 13 years old?
Unfortunately, I do.
You gotta have a good mechanic.
Yeah, I do have a good mechanic.
Because that's an old car.
Go ahead, Dawn.
They haven't done anything in 13 years, and when they did do it 13 years ago, it was a donated item they put in, so they didn't spend any money.
Right.
They have these art stands, our bleachers. They are out of code. They're horrific. They will undoubtedly have to be replaced after the next state building survey. My husband actually witnessed an elderly gentleman fall down. I mean, thank God he wasn't hurt.
Yikes.
Coming to the point of, you wouldn't believe this exists. I took pictures. I took videos. I called the New York State. He's like the athletic director of New York State. I sent messages and voicemails. I went to the TV, radio, print. I don't know what else to do. Before somebody gets seriously injured, this needs to be looked at. And I'm just coming at it from a mom's point of view. Our concession stand is essentially just an overhang connected to a storage barn and had recently had a pesticide storage warning posted on the door.
Yeah, that's... when I saw that, that kind of leaped out at me, and I was like, wait a minute. You're selling food next to a garage, so to speak, or storage area, as you said, that contains a pesticide. I can't believe that that's even approved.
Well, the pesticides are gone now. But they were in there. And the way Iroquois takes care of stuff, you know they didn't do a proper cleanup of those chemicals, and they allow us to serve food there. Then it gets better. Our outhouses, because we have no bathrooms, are 12 feet away from the food. What? Where am I? Like, is this like a... It's just so upsetting. Then they only give us two outhouses. One is handicapped, but this is the best part. Poor handicapped people can't reach the bathroom because it's not paved. You live in Buffalo. We all know what the weather's like, right? Have you ever gone to a football game on a sunny day on a Friday night? No, usually it's raining, snowing, muddy, puddles, whatever. So how is the wheelchair going to get over the dirt and the mud and the puddle to get to this handicapped outhouse?
Right.
That, to me, in New York State, states clearly that you need to provide proper bathroom for the disabled. I mean, there's laws against this that we just disregard or get around or no one's reported. I don't know. It gets better. After my board meeting, they took down the pesticide signs. Great change. I'm sure that took a lot of work. The water is provided via a Pyrex hose that is 30 feet from the thicket. What? We have water coming through a hose. The track, as noted by the superintendent, is in bad shape, is deteriorated. There's holes in our track. I just don't know how this is even legal. I don't think the bathrooms are ADA compliant. Our neighbors in Depew, I mean, you know sports better than anyone. Depew has the most incredible facility. Alden, East Aurora, both the Senecas are getting turf. Lackawanna is supposed to get it next year. Lancaster's Fieldhouse. But yet, I'm sending my son to practice, and he's hitting this sled. And this all started because of my son hit a sled that when you hit it, the pad fell off.
Well, I was going to ask, because I see the picture of the sled that you posted, and anybody's interested, they can go to our Inside High School Sports Facebook page. I forwarded your article that you posted. I'm looking at this sled, and I was like, does anybody even use this thing? It looks like it's rusted out and hasn't been touched in years, but you're saying it is used.
Oh, my God, it was used the day I posted a GoFundMe, and the superintendent found out about it. So instead of offering to replace the sled, he's like, oh, I'll give you pads. What? Did you see that sled? It's like a tetanus shot waiting to happen.
That thing should be scrapped. Seriously. You'll call anybody that deals in scrap metals, and that thing needs to be taken away. I'm looking at the picture right now, and I can tell you what. We have a better blocking sled at Niagara Falls Junior Football Club than this one.
We don't even have a storage facility for our equipment, so everything looks like that. We put it in, I actually posted a picture We put it in like a trailer and leave it outside year round. It's like 1970s at our school. Nothing has been updated at all. Iroquois' athletic department motto is striving to be the best. To me, that's a joke, given our coaches and students and athletes are given facilities and equipment that are far below the competition. And anytime a teacher or coach or anyone speaks up in the morning, they're called down to the superintendent.
It's absolutely incredible. And Dawn, I'm glad that you brought this to light, and hopefully you energize the people in the district, get some things done to improve the facilities there. I mean, we've always held Iroquois in the highest regards for so many years. They've been so good to us, and we're hoping that things get squared away there, for the kids' sake. And thank you for spending time with us this morning and getting us up to speed as to what's going on there at Iroquois.
I really appreciate you putting some light on this topic. For the district to work in, if you could ask people to come out and vote yes to the new complex, to attend board meetings, just put some effort into this because our kids deserve it. They truly do.
Absolutely. Dawn, I want to wish you the best of luck. You're doing the right thing, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. You as well. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us. A lot of talk on the Bills releasing LeSean McCoy. We'll be back next week with more Inside High School Sports.